Good evening. Great to be back with you tonight. Appreciate your presence here so that we can study God's Word together. As I mentioned this morning, tonight, we want to look at the courage of Ananias. You know, Ananias is kind of someone that is just almost, if you were going to look at it in a movie stance, he would kind of be a side character here. But he's someone that is so very important. Because without Ananias, we might not have had the Apostle Paul. And so Ananias is someone who is important when we look at the story in the book of Acts. Ananias was a man of courage. And brethren, we need courage in the Lord's church today. We need courageous elders who will protect the Lord's body from false teaching and sin regardless of the consequences. We need courageous preachers who will herald the truth of God's word even when it's unpopular to do so. We need courageous members who will support godly elderships and preachers and who will stand up for the cause of Christ despite any negative consequences. We need courageous people. And Ananias was a courageous man. And that courage caused four things to take place that we want to notice tonight. Number one, the courage of Ananias caused him to be ready. The courage of Ananias caused him to be ready. We're in Acts chapter 9 tonight. We're going to be noticing verses 10 through 22. And we begin by looking at a question that is posed. In verse 10, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. We've noticed that phrase, here I am, in other places in Scripture. We see it, Abraham responding to God with that statement of here I am in Genesis chapter 22. We see Moses respond in that way in Exodus chapter 3. We have Samuel respond that way in 1 Samuel chapter 3. We see Isaiah respond that way in Isaiah chapter 6. And here we have Ananias responding that way in Acts chapter 9. God inquires of Ananias, and we see that he is ready. He states, here I am. And that statement, as we've noticed in the past, it's not a statement of physical presence. Ananias is not answering God and saying, here I am physically right in this spot, God. It's not about physical presence, but it's about spiritual preparedness. Ananias is saying to God, God, whatever you need, I'm here. Whatever you're going to call upon me to do, I stand at the ready. That was the attitude of Abraham when he said it, the attitude of Moses and Samuel and Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who shall go for us? Then I said, Isaiah says, here am I, send me. Is that our attitude, brethren? Do we have the attitude of when God calls, we're ready to answer? God calls and Ananias says, I'm ready. And in verse 11, he begins to be given the instructions. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. Ananias is instructed by the Lord to go to Saul. And I want you to notice, just as kind of a side note, what Saul's doing, he's praying. Friends, here is an individual who has seen a vision of Christ. An individual who has spoken with him. We learn from other scriptures, here's an individual that has now been fasting for 3 days. And during that time, he has been steadfast in prayer. And as we look at that, you would think, well, surely an individual who's seen Christ, who spoke with him, who's been fasting and praying for 3 days, surely an individual in that situation would be saved. But friends, we see Saul's not. Despite all of that, Saul is not saved. Saul is still very much in his sins. We know that because as Saul recounts this event in Acts chapter 22, in verse 16, he said, Ananias would say to him, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. If Saul had been saved, why did his sins need to be washed away? If the sins were not present, there would be no need for them to be washed. Saul still had sin. Despite all that had taken place, he still needed to be baptized in order to wash those away. In verse 12, and in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. God tells Ananias that Saul is waiting on him. Brethren, God is not going to do our part for us. He made salvation possible. He laid out the plan in which you and I can take advantage of that salvation. But it's up to us to do that. He's also made it possible for others, but it's up to us to tell them about that. Just like Ananias, you and I need to be courageous and we need to be ready. We need to be ready to preach and to teach the gospel. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Mark 16, 15 and 16, that the Great Commission to go to everyone and to give them that soul-saving message. The attitude that Paul would later have once he is converted, Romans 1, 15, he says, I'm ready to preach to you who are at Rome also. We need to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in us, 1 Peter 3, 15. We need to be ready to do good to all, Galatians 6, 10. Friends, Ananias was courageous, and as a result of that courage, he was ready. And brethren, we need to be as well. Number two, the courage of Ananias caused him to be realistic. The courage of Ananias caused him to be realistic. In verse 13, we see the cautiousness of Ananias. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. Ananias has some natural reservations, right? He says, Lord, you're telling me to go to him, and hey, just I know this guy. I've heard of him, and I've heard of all the harm that he's done. He's not, Ananias, and we'll notice this here in a few moments, he's not seeking to shirk his responsibility. Once God reconfirms, hey, this is who I want you to go to, Ananias says, okay, I'm gone. But at the same time, he's being realistic. Friends, courage isn't reckless abandon. It's measured action. And that's what we see here in Ananias. In verse 14, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. Ananias says, not only has he done a lot of harm, he came to Damascus with the sole purpose of catching those who were following you and taking them back. Ananias realizes that if he goes about this the wrong way, he might not be able to do anything else for the Lord. So he wants to make sure. There were times when men of God fled danger. Elijah did so in 1 Kings 19. Jesus did so on occasion. John chapter 8 and verse 39, Luke chapter 4 and verse 30. We see occasions when the apostles did so. When the apostles were in Thessalonica and the uproar began, they snuck them out by night to another city. And so there are times when godly men fled danger, but at the same time there were times when they stood up to that. We need to be realistic with our courage today. We need to study the situation. We need to make righteous judgments. We need to be willing to do whatever is needed, but we need to make sure that we are following the right course in the process. How do we determine the right course? We pick up the instruction manual. Ananias was courageous, and that courage caused him to be, number two, realistic. Number three, the courage of Ananias caused him to be receptive. The courage of Ananias caused him to be receptive. Back to our text, verses 15 and 16 now. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias was ready to do God's will, and we'll notice that in just a moment. He was realistic concerning the situation, but once he realized that this was indeed what God wanted him to do, what do we see in Ananias? We see someone who was receptive to that. God said, go, and Ananias said, okay. In verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Think for a moment about the courage needing to go to Saul. For all Ananias knows, Saul's just there waiting for him. He's faking all this, and he's ready for Ananias to come in there, and as soon as he does, he's hauling him off to jail. But God said, go, and Ananias went. Brethren, we need to be receptive to God's word today. When we read or learn something through a sermon, then maybe something we are doing is not according to God's will, what do? Do we only follow God when His will matches up with our will? Brethren, if that's our mindset, understand that's not obedience. It's not obedience when the only time we follow God is when what He requires matches up with what we're willing to do. Obedience is when this isn't my will, but it's God, so guess what? I'm going to do it. You think Ananias wanted to go to Saul? But when God said go, he went. We need to have that same attitude today. Really willing to follow God no matter what. That brings us to our fourth and final point tonight. The courage of Ananias caused great results. The courage of Ananias caused great results. Notice verse 18, immediately there fell from his, Saul's eyes, something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened, and Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. What if Ananias had been too afraid to tell Saul what he needed to hear? Now, I know this, God would have sent someone else. But what about Ananias? Instead of a sermon about his courageousness, we would have a sermon about what? His cowardice. We read nothing else of Ananias in Scripture. He's mentioned in Acts 22, but that's just a recounting of Saul's interaction with him. It's not new information. But through his actions, he had a part in every person that Paul taught. He had a part in every congregation that Paul established. He had a part in every soul that was saved. Friends, Ananias had a part in us being here today. I mean, what was Saul's primary purpose? He went to who? The Gentiles. Guess who we are? Because of Ananias' courage, you and I had the opportunity to hear the gospel. In verse 20, we see immediately he, Saul, preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for the purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? All right, wait a minute, what's happened? Friends, that's the power of the gospel. In that courage that Ananias had, we see now that same courage in Saul. In verse 22, but Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Brethren, Ananias was courageous, and we should be as well. That courage will cause us to be ready It will cause us to be realistic, receptive to the Word of God, and it will cause great results for the cause of Christ. Friend, are you a courageous child of God this evening? If you're not a Christian, will you have the courage to become one tonight and put Christ on in baptism? If you are a Christian, will you have the courage to come back home if you've fallen away? Let's be courageous and follow God as together we stand and sing.